sums it all up. Arsenal, the cream of the crop.
Welcome to the 91st edition of the Gooner Podcast, recorded on the Monday evening after Arsenal's 125th anniversary victory over Everton. This podcast is sponsored by the website for all your unofficial Arsenal t-shirt needs, goonershirts.com. I'm your host, Mark Hollington, sitting in for the man, David Udo, who cannot be here because he is attending his work's Christmas do. We await tales of what he got up to with his secretary in the broom cupboard in the new year. I can't wait. David, do it for us all. So let's leave that thought behind and introduce tonight's panel. We thought he'd gone. He thought he retired from active Gooner duty. But no, you can't keep a good man down. After a couple of months of not doing the Highbury spy, he felt the need to step back into the firing line and give us his views and opinions on all things Arsenal and pretty much everything else. Like Frank Sinatra, we've ruled him out again. So it's a very warm welcome back to the spy himself, Mr. Steve Ashford.
What can you say about an introduction like that?
Steve, it's just for you.
We're all sitting here in our Father Christmas hats and dressed up as Santa Claus. You can't see it, listeners, but just imagine it.
Steve, you look a treat. Next up, he's turned down a gig this evening as one of a series of tribute acts to 70s legends. And despite the regular piss taking of his haircut on this very podcast, he is standing firm and refusing to join the current decade in these hair stakes. It's a legend that is Mr. Joe Broadfoot.
So when am I getting my statue then? I want a statue.
Joe, with that haircut, you need one.
Yeah, I think I do.
And one of my favourite Christmas songs is David Essex's Winter's Tale, and you look like him at his peak and pinnacle, Joe, so it's a joy you're here for this Christmas podcast.
I'm sure you don't want me to sing it, so let's move
Save
on.
Save it for the end, Joe, save it for the end. And last, but not least, she's always very welcome. She's here every now and then, but whenever she's here, it's an absolute treat. She is proof there is life as we know it in club level. We've looked at her Twitter feed recently, and it looks like she's wedded to her iPhone, tweeting like there is no tomorrow. We've got her off the thing tonight to dispense some pearls of wisdom. It's a warm welcome, a big hello to our old friend, Gunner Talks, Lindsay Sheehan.
Hello, Gooners.
Look at that. What a panel. What a panel. So, you know, we've got three esteemed people here. This is going to be absolutely brilliant. So let's get cracking. Let's get down to the hard and fast matters. 22 points out of 24 in the league. That is bonkers. And winners of the Champions League group. We're going to start with you, Joe. Do you think this vindicates Arsene Wenger, and especially in the last couple of months? You know, August was abysmal. This is amazing. 22 points out of 24. What is your views on the man now?
My views on Arsene Wenger haven't really changed. I was looking at the fixture list before the season began, and I thought, it doesn't get a lot tougher than that. Manchester United away, Newcastle away. Okay, Newcastle away, could say we might be expected to win. It kind of went as I expected. Apart from Blackburn away, I lost my mind over Blackburn away. That was the one where I thought, well, Arsene, you've got to do something and quickly. But we'd already brought the players in at that point. So that was the real wake-up call. But somehow these new players started to gel. And I don't think they were the greatest players available. And we didn't spend perhaps enough money, but that's the parsimonious policy of the club, and that's not going to change. I don't know who's to blame for that, whether it's Arsene Wenger or the board, who knows. But my view of Arsene Wenger hasn't changed, it's just the fixture list changes. So when we get a run of easy-ish fixtures and we win them, well, quelle surprise, it's going to happen, right?
Lindsay, 22 points at 24, that's not bad, is it?
It's not bad. I'd like to be able to watch Match of the Day without them reminding us about our terrible start, because it is getting a bit tiresome now. But it was always going to happen. We just needed time to click. The problem with our summer was it all happened very, very late doors, didn't it? Too late doors to spunk the money, which I think we did try to do at the 11th hour. But the players that he has brought in, they've changed this Arsenal side. They've made it more solid. They've certainly made it more, harder to beat, I think, is probably a better way. All right, we missed Fabregas's insightful pass. But I think it's starting to happen for this, and there seems to be a bit more of a buzz around our team at the moment. There seems to be a bit of team spirit here, which is always lovely to see.
Steve, if any man has been critical of our current manager in its time, it's been you, my good chap. Are you pleased with our recent run?
Have you got a slice of humble pie so I can eat it? I think I might have to. I think those, you know, the run of results that we're on at the moment is just fantastic. Now, I certainly didn't see it coming, even against the teams we're expected to beat. You know, the likes of Stoke, Sunderland, that we'd be very, not in easy circumstances. But last year we might have drawn those games. We are looking a lot more solid. I think that's a deliberate policy. I've got a lot more time for Arsene Wenger since he did spend a bit of cash at the end of August. And personally, I'm really happy with the way he's going at the moment. Couldn't be happier.
You say Steve spent a bit of cash. He still made £16 million profit, obviously, in the transfer window.
Yeah.
Having said that, though, you're pleased the players that we bought now? You think they're coming to fruition?
Love the players we bought, without exception. I know Mertesacker comes in for a bit of stick, but I've always said in previous podcasts that I think he's a really good player. I love Arteta. I loved him when he played for Everton. I always thought we should have bought him a couple of years ago. Benny Eun, I always liked when he was at Liverpool in the Champions League. Scored about 8 Champions League goals. Got one for us last week. Love all those players. They're brilliant. I just think that we should play Benny Eun a bit more.
Can I interject here? What about
by all means, Joe?
Chu Young Park. What's your view on him?
There's always an exception. Yeah. He's the exception.
And that's true. I mean, even in the first double winning team, he bought a whole barrage of players, didn't he? And there was your Van Bronckhorst or your, like, you know, that kind of player. So I know what you're saying, but it's not a bad run. But having said that, some of these wins have been quite narrow. 1-0 here, 2-1 there. It's not the Arsenal of old. Does that bother you? Or are you happy to get a few clean sheets and, you know, see us scrape through 1-0?
Clean sheets, you've said it yourself. I mean, it's all about the clean sheets. We've not had enough of them. I mean, and it's all... I mean, the thing is, there are times when we're getting the clean sheets purely because we've got a decent goalkeeper for the first time in, well, feels like living memory. Yeah. Really does.
Just over a year ago, Chesney hadn't even made his debut.
No.
And now he's the established number one keeper. And I don't think any Arsenal fan would swap him for any other keeper in the world.
But guess what? We were saying this years ago, by the way.
Yeah, we were.
I know. We were. In this very podcast, I'm sure I wasn't the only one saying Chesney's a good keeper. I mean, there was at least 2 or 3 people agreeing with that and saying the same thing. But Arsene Wenger wanted to stick with Almunia, then he preferred Fabianski to Chesney. And I mean, I'm not a Wenger hater by any means, but I really want to stick with the manager. I do, but I'm still critical of it.
You wonder whether Fabianski, if he hadn't broken his shoulder, whether Chesney would have come through.
Probably not.
Do you know what? On that very subject, I just really wanted to say, you know, hats off to Thomas Vermaelen for injuring Fabianski. That's a bit rude. Sorry.
But that just leaves us one step away from Almunia.
I was going to ask you that very question. Almunia was back on the bench for the Everton match. And I guess what you could argue is that, you know, even though Chesney has come to the fore, we've still got 2 keepers. If we go back to the Wednesday night game against Panathinaikos, was it? Or Olympiakos, sorry. And both Mannone and Fabianski didn't exactly cover themselves in glory, did they? So if Chesney gets injured, what happens then?
Well, we're up shit creek again, aren't we? I mean, I was quite concerned about what happened to Mannone because he started off with a massive bang with that Fulham game where he just nothing got past him. He was like Gandalf, you shall not pass. And then you watched that on during midweek and it was tears out crying only fools and Arsenal goalkeepers again. And it does worry me that Almunia is, you know, because Chesney seems to be a bit bulletproof, but everybody gets an injury at some point, so we will be back at that door at some point.
I mean, Chesney's a man that injured himself by doing weightlifting, isn't he, back in the day? Broke both his
Champions
arms.
League last year, Barcelona.
Oh.
He injured himself in the first 10 minutes. We had Almunia in. He didn't let us down.
Cool, didn't he? That was
played brilliant. But that could happen on Sunday at Man City, and then who we got? Almunia again. But I must say, I think Almunia, despite his weaknesses, is still the best out of a bad bunch.
Mm. You mean out of the other three, you mean, Steve?
I still prefer Almunia to Mannone, and I still prefer him to Fabianski.
Oh, I quite like Fabianski. I think Flappy's right improved, but, you know, I still think we need another one. No. I would like to see us bought Friedel. I don't know why we didn't go down that route.
Have you seen, I'm sure a lot of you have seen Viz. There's a character in it called Bag of Nerves, and the problem is, Bag of Nerves looks so similar to Fabianski, and I think it's that bothers me, plus the fact he can't sort of handle any crosses. And those two things just play on my mind, and I just look at the back four, and they go to pieces. It doesn't matter who's playing there. You get experienced defenders, and they're flapping too. Even if they've got nothing to flap at, they're still flapping. And you know, it's just this whole thing. Maybe it started as a myth. I don't know, but I saw his first game away at Barnet. I only saw it on TV. I wasn't there, but I saw the full 90 minutes, and Fabianski was supposed to be the number one Poland keeper, and he just looked awful. Considering it was a friendly game, he looked like he couldn't handle the pressure of playing for Arsenal, even in a friendly game, you know, in front of 3,000 fans, and that disturbed me. And he's never stopped disturbing me since.
That's good to know, Joe. Well, so sad to have the same time. No, please do, Joe. That's what this podcast is here for as well.
Myself, if you ever wanted to have a discussion.
I'd like to say this is a therapy session for you as well, Joe. So, you know.
He's a big guy, so I should shut up, really. But
we're here to please.
No, I'm not like that.
He doesn't disturb me, but he's got no presence. keepers have to have presence.
The minute
I saw Chesney make his league debut at Old Trafford, I just thought, my God, that keeper's got presence. I knew he had already because I've seen him play against West Brom in the Carling Cup and a couple of other games for Brentford. The guy's got massive presence. He inspires everyone around him. And Fabianski, look at him. He looks like a
little boy
or something. Yeah, doesn't look like a keeper.
Yeah, technically, he's probably good.
To be a goalkeeper, does he? You've got to have a screw loose. And I love the fact that Chesney gives them all a bit of verbal and starts telling them what he thinks he should do with their mothers and all of that. I love all that. And Fabianski, like you say.
Did you see him at Wigan when he went up to the fans? We're by far the greatest team the world has ever seen.
Yeah.
Kissing Van Persie's boot.
Fantastic.
I mean, he's a gooner, isn't he?
So Chesney, potential, or even current Arsenal legend. But I mentioned the Champions League there, and let's revel in the fact that we made it through to the last 16. Well, forgetting last Arsenal. Game aside, didn't matter, we qualified, group winners. So I guess the question is A, and by the way, feel free to mention the two Man United, the two Manchester teams going out, that's great. But who do we fancy in the last 16, and how far do you think we can go in our esteemed Premier competition? Lindsay, I'll start with you first.
Oh, see, I tweeted about 2 months ago that I fancy us for this competition. The omens to me are here. We're battling, well, Tottenham are sort of the best they've ever done for quite a while. The last time sort of this situation was happening, it was us versus Villa, I think, and we ended up in the Champions League final, and the omens to me are just there. I fancy this team because I think they've got what it takes in Europe. They're not so, we're not going to leak so much. We can cope with the pace and the flair, and I think with the referees as well, with that back four we've got now.
Cool, so Steve, we've got Napoli, CSK Moscow, Basel, Lyon, Bayer Leverkusen, Zenit St. Petersburg or AC Milan. Out of those bad boys, any preference to the next round?
I'll have the train station in Switzerland, please. the team that beat Man United, who previously have been best known for their big train station. I think we've got to get Bayer, or Basel, however you pronounce them. I mean, that's the team I want. But if we can't get them, then I don't fancy St. Petersburg. And I don't really fancy AC Milan, but anyone other than that.
You think you're quite confident we can do the business?
Yeah, I think we're going to go a long way this year. I think we're going to go a long way. The back four instills me with enormous confidence at the moment, and especially when they're protected by Arteta and Song, or Frimpong and Song, or whoever else is in front of them. You know, I think we've got some really good players out there this year, and the tactics are a lot more solid. I like the fullbacks, even when they're not injured. I think we should get through the next round, and if we avoid Barcelona and Real Madrid, we can get to the semi-final.
Yeah. I guess the thing is, our fullbacks will be back for the whatever ones he may choose. Be back for the next round potentially.
Yeah.
Joe, are you as optimistic as Steve and Lindsay?
I have to say I am. You know, apart from if we meet Barcelona or Real Madrid prior to the semi-finals, then we're probably not going to make it that far. But if we don't, if we avoid those, I mean, we could even make it as far as the final. I'm not so sure we're going to beat either Real Madrid or Barcelona. That's the truth. And I'm not overly convinced on our defensive performances. You know, I haven't even though we kept a clean sheet the other day against Everton, I was watching the so-called man marking, and I don't know if anyone else picked this up, but
no, to be fair,
Fellaini. No one was on Fellaini, were they?
Yeah. I mean, it was a different guy every time, and to me, that's not man marking. Sorry, I'd have to contest that. Because, you know, it just seemed haphazard marking.
Well, you would put the big fucking German against the big head.
Well,
that
would make a lot of sense. So putting Vermaelen, who's 5'11", up against him at a near post corner, I just didn't really like it very much.
We've still got a habit of giving a team a chance every match. They'll get at least one good chance.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a bit worrying.
And also worrying is Arsene Wenger saying he's not going to buy another centre-back. I mean, it's not that we've got... We've got two or three that are pretty good, it's true.
I'd say we've got four, would you argue, Joe?
Yeah, you could argue that, but we play centre-backs as right-backs or left-backs and possibly in midfield, so we need a lot of centre-backs the way we're going.
I want a striker.
That's seconded.
So, this isn't a question which is for, I was going to say for the next podcast, but sod it, because I'm a maverick, so I'm going to ask it now. Do you think Wenger will buy in January? And if so, what position are you most keen for strengthening? Steve, you mentioned their striker, yeah?
Yeah, definitely striker. When you consider that Van Persie scores 70% of your goals, Jovinho doesn't look like he's got his shooting boots on. Walcott never has his shooting boots on, and on Saturday I thought he was appalling. Terrible game, you know, as usual.
We'll get to that in a minute, isn't it? I'll let Joe and Lindsay have their comeback
Park
for that.
Park doesn't seem to be cutting the mustard. Chamat, God knows where his head is.
Yeah.
Probably back at Bordeaux, if what he's saying today in the paper is anything to go by.
That's
not
what we were saying before we started recording,
Steve. No. That can't be for now.
But for the listeners out there, Kevin, our editor, has gone to the AST Christmas party tonight, and he's normally here with his watchful eye. He's not here. We can say whatever we like, but we could be sacked if we go a bit too far. So, Lindsay, who would you?
So I can't come in the gay brothel story.
Kevin has been to a gay brothel. Yeah, but Lindsay, ignoring Kevin's trip to a gay brothel, which player would you most like to see us get in January? Any names come to mind? Well, any signings you'd like to make?
Because obviously, keeps getting mentioned. I'd like to see that. I think I'm with Steve. Really, we've got to buy some goals in the team. I think, like you said, this season randomly we seem to have sorted it 99.9% defensively, something we'd never thought we'd hear say. So it's got to come creative now, I think. Yeah. We've lost two massive creative players, whatever you think about them going or whatever, that's where we've lost, and I think that's where we've got to invest.
Joe?
And I'm seeing it the same way. We need another striker. Unless Theo gets a chance to play there. I mean, I know Steve wouldn't like to see him play
there. You saw how good Theo was as a striker on Saturday after 10 minutes. Clean on, one-on-one, put through brilliantly by Arteta. Drew the keeper. All he had to do was be Thierry Henry for a minute. He passed it.
Yeah,
I rest my case.
No, but that is because he's been played on the right wing. And he's a provider as opposed to a scorer. And we all know Theo is a good finish.
Lindsay, let's come to you.
It's because he hasn't got a football brain.
Let's get a bit of Theo Walcott balance. Lindsay, are you a fan of Theo?
I am a fan of Theo this season. I think finally he started doing what we've been asking him to do. I think his balls into the box this season are a world away from what we've seen in the last couple. I think he's been quite unsung by gooners and pundits alike, because Van Persie, who we're all agreeing is walking on water at the moment, is saying he's not doing it without Theo. If that's what he's saying, I'm with him.
How do you answer that, Steve? I mean, Lindsay is correct.
Three words.
Van P.
Three words.
Yeah.
If Theo wasn't there, then Benny Hume, Rizicki or Chamberlain would set those goals up, and probably
Chamberlain
even more.
Chamberlain probably, I agree, but he's not ready yet.
I would say Chamberlain could possibly do what Theo's doing in 2 years' time, but he's not going to be doing it right now against Premier League defenders. I don't think so. In the Carling Cup, it's kind of different. The other players, no, I don't think so, because they haven't got the pace. As simple as that. I mean, it's just his physical attributes, taking past players. And unfortunately, you know, the haters of Theo have to admit, Theo has got blistering pace and he can leave two or three defenders for dead. So in that sense, he can do the impossible. But his crossing, I have to admit, is hit and miss. Some of his crosses are great, some are awful.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. But his finishing, if you really look at his finishing, it's better than most wingers. Far better than most wingers.
I don't know. I don't think he's brave enough to be a finisher.
Well, because he's not playing in the right position.
What about Stamford Bridge then?
Brilliant, because, fantastic. Yeah. A one-off.
Not going to convince
you, Steve. So, Steve, you don't think Theo's proved himself this season?
No, not at all. The jury is still very much out, as far as I'm concerned, on Theo.
To me, he still looks like a player very, very young. Physically, you know, he doesn't look... Some players don't hit their prime until they're older. And Theo looks to me like 25, 26, he's going to be a finished product. At the moment, he's still got a long way to go.
And he did start the game very, you know, relatively old. You know, what was he, 13, 14 or something like that when he started playing football. So that is why there's certain things you'd expect him to know that he doesn't seem to know. I mean, I just think it's down to the fact that he started football at a late age.
And he came to our stage really young and with a massive expectation on him. And he's playing on Saturday with Thierry Henry in the audience on the 125th anniversary. That is stage fright, isn't it?
I'd rather have had Thierry Henry.
And he certainly wasn't the worst Arsenal player 34. On the day. No way. And Robin Van Persie didn't cover himself in glory until that moment.
I know, but what a goal. That's what you need from a striker, surely. It was beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful goal.
But we'll get on to that.
You're not going to see a better goal.
Well,
than that.
Robin Van Persie, superlatives can do the man no end of justice, really. He's been phenomenal this season. But apart from him, and I think you're going to say Theo here, Steve, who do you think has been Arsenal player of the season so far, Robin aside?
Oh, that's a difficult question, actually.
And I want one choice, not
Alex
two.
Alex Song.
Okay. And what's impressed you so much, Steve?
Two words, one answer, one name, Alex Song.
And any reasons why, mate?
Because his defensive capabilities have improved. He always used to be able to beat a man. Now he seems to beat a man easier than he could. It's becoming instinctive for him. And his long-range passing, as proved on Saturday, and against Dortmund when he set Van Persie up for the winner with the first goal in the Dortmund game. I mean, I was just doing that more and more and more now, and he's dominating games. As he gets older, he's becoming the complete defensive midfielder. And I just think this year, he would be the player that we would miss the most, apart from Van Persie, if he wasn't around.
Do you agree with that, Joe, or do you got another player that's really struck you this season?
Chesney for me, because Chesney can play in goal. prior to Chesney arriving, I was thinking we really should go with Rush goalkeepers. It certainly works in the playground. And if it's Fabianski or a Rush goalkeeper, I mean, I was all for getting Phil Jagielka to play in goal because I thought he was preferable to the other option.
Have you seen Jagielka play in goal?
Yeah, I've seen him play in goal and he's not bad. So that was the reason why I thought, get Jagielka, he can play in more than one position, and I know Arsene loves that. So let's get Jagielka, play him in goal. He's better than Fabianski.
He played in goal for Sheffield United, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He's played a few times in goal.
We played him in goal.
Yeah.
Very good point. And we didn't score past him, did
we,
either?
We didn't get
down to 10 men and we didn't get a shot, did we? Very well remembered, Lindsay. Lindsay, your player of the season thus far?
Yeah, I think I'm with Steve again. Alex,
you two are getting on very well on this podcast. Apart from Theo, you two are really bonding on this podcast.
I quite like the spine, full stop. I think Vermaelen has taught us what we missed so badly last season. Obviously, Van Persie, how can you argue? And Song as well. I think it's looking good.
That's great to know. So we're going to take a little break here because Steve and Lindsay are going to get to know each other a little bit better. There's a great bond. Joe feels like the gooseberry in the room. But it's been a good first podcast, so we're going to take a short little break. As always, if you want to email us, there's no emails this issue, which is most upsetting. And I'd love to read out an email and get your comments. If you want to email us, it is goodapodcast@gmail.com. Send fan mail into Steve. He always loves that, Steve, don't you? And any kind of photos of ladies semi-naked.
Yeah, yeah. Or Gumosaurus. You love Gumosaurus, don't you?
The more semi-naked, the better.
And Lindsay has asked for pictures of Arsene Wenger naked if they're around. So
no, I want him to wear the puffer jacket. Just no pants.
Yeah. That would be phenomenal. And Joe, what kind of fan mail do you favour?
Any fan mail will do me.
Cool. Well, once again, thank you to our sponsors, GoonerShirts.com. And it's goodbye from Steve.
Goodbye.
Joe.
Tattoo bye.
And Lindsay.
Bye bye.
We'll be back with some more very, very soon. I'm your host, Mark Ellington. Thank you very much for listening.
La di da di da, la di da di di. All good friends and jolly good company.
Hooray!